can I know God personally? And today we're going to be talking about that as we finish up the series we're in, What on Earth Am I Here For? We saw the first week that God made us and created us to love Him. And when we love Him back, that is worship. That is our first calling, our first purpose. But then we also learned that God has called us to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the second purpose. And then the third purpose is we are called not only to belong to God, but to belong to His family, to belong to each other. And that is fellowship. And then last week we saw that God has called us to serve. That is to serve others and honor Him. And then today is our fifth, and that is we're looking at you are called to be sent. And I'm going to ask all who are able to stand to please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin with two verses from John and one from the book of Acts. In John 17:18, Jesus said, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." And in chapter 20, verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And in Acts 20, "The most important thing is that I complete my..." Christianity is in decline in America. Now, what they might not have heard, what you may not have heard, is Christianity is growing all around the world, okay? And it's going to project it to grow around the world. Why is it not growing in America? There's one simple answer to that is, and that is, the people who know Jesus Christ in America are not talking about Jesus to people that do not know Jesus Christ. The Bible asks the question, how will they know unless someone tells them? This is a subject that I'm very passionate about because I know what it's like to be on the other side. I know what it's like to live your life and not know anything about Jesus Christ. You see, I already had my driver's license, I already had a job. I had never in my life been told about Jesus Christ. We had a Bible on our coffee table. It had never been opened. It had never been read. I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. I didn't know what He did until somebody came by and knocked on our door and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with my family. Now, I was at work when they came by. I was working in high school and went to school and then worked in a textile mill. And when I got home, my mom says, "Guess where we're going Sunday?" "I don't know, Chimney Rock, Myrtle Beach, where are we going?" She said, "We're going to church." But I want you to know, I was at the point, I had a car, I had money in my pocket, I had a job, I was going to see the world, I was going to have a good time. I wasn't going to church. She said, "You live in my house, you're going." And I went. I want you to know, I went against my will. I want you to know, I didn't like going. I want you to know, when I got there, I didn't like it. Let me tell you why. During the invitation, my mama started crying. I said, "I know I don't like church. That done made my mama cry. But let me tell you what happened was, as she came into the church service, we were told about Jesus Christ. She was convicted about her sin. She saw that she needed a Savior. And that morning, my mom made the best decision of her life. She gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. You know what that means, don't you? That means we had to go back at night. And I said, well, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to like it. But let me tell you what happened over the weeks. I come to understand that there was an emptiness in my life. I come to understand that there was a part of me that was unfulfilled. And the only way that that would change is if I committed my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And so there came a time when I walked down that aisle. I gave my hand to the preacher, but I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. It was the best decision I ever made in my life. Folks, I'd still be lost today. I wouldn't be here today at this place preaching today if somebody hadn't come by and knocked on our door. And folks, I want you to know that was 42 years ago, and it's just gotten worse in America. There's nobody going today to share the gospel. Southern Baptist, that's what we are, not just because we're in the South. That's just because it's the name of our denomination. The largest Protestant denomination in America, okay? But last year, out of our 45,000 Southern Baptist churches, 13,500 churches did not win a single person to Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That's the problem. And so today I want to talk about our fifth calling, and that is the calling to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we refer to this as evangelism. The word evangelism simply means good news. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want you to circle that phrase there, my witness. God says that you will be his witness. Notice he doesn't say you might, I want you to. He said you will be my witness. Notice what God doesn't say. God doesn't say you're to be the judge. God doesn't say you're to be the attorney. You're not to defend the gospel. You don't have to defend Jesus Christ. You don't have to argue with somebody. You're not to be the prosecutor. You're not to be a salesman. You're to be a witness. What does a witness do? You just tell people what you see and what you hear. One time I was a witness in court. I'm telling you, folks, if you'd ever go to court and watch it one day, you'd go away and say, our country's in a mess, okay? Anyhow, I was to be a witness in court, and I had to go up there, put my hand on the Bible, and swear to tell the whole truth. And then when I got up there, you know, let me tell you the only thing they were interested in? It wasn't my theory about what happened. They want to know, what did you see? What did you hear firsthand? Not hearsay. What did you see? What did you hear? And did you know that's what God wants us to do? He wants us to be a first person witness to what we have seen and what we have heard God do in our life. Has God done something in your life? Has God spoke to you? Has God touched you in some way? Well, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Now, notice here he says that we're to go in three different areas. The first one is Jerusalem. Well, what does that mean? That means the people closest to me. When Jesus said this, he was on the Mount of Ascension in Jerusalem. By the way, folks, he's coming back to that very same spot. And he's going to be interested when he comes back to see if we're doing what he told us when he went up. You'll be a witness in Jerusalem. That's the people closest to you. That's the people in your family. That's your neighbor. That's your coworker. The people that are closest to you, share the good news. And then secondly, he said Judea and Samaria. What was that? That was the area around Jerusalem. Samaria represents those that are close to you but are different. Y'all ever around any different people? Huh? Okay. Well, he says you're to be a witness to the people that are different. They may have a different language. They may have a different culture. They may have a different skin color. They may have different values. But if they're different from you, you share the gospel with them also. And then the third one, he said, to the ends of the earth. What does that include? That includes everybody. It starts at home, and then it goes all the way around the world. Ephesians 3:11 says, this was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You want to be a history maker? Well, what's God's plan for all of history? And that is to gather together a family that He can have in heaven forever. That is God's purpose for us. Well, let's look at these three areas. Number one, I must share with those in my world. There was a guy possessed by a legion of demons. A Roman legion consisted of 6,000. So imagine 6,000 devils living in you. Jesus delivered him of those 6,000. The guy wanted to get in a boat and hang out with Jesus. But notice what Jesus told him. Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Let me ask you, have you done that? Have you gone all over town telling everybody what Jesus has done for you? It's gathering demoniac. He went all over town. Why? That was God's plan, God's calling, God's purpose for his life. It started at home and then he told his whole town. There's a story. You know, this is a made up story, but it still illustrates a truth that God was having a conversation with an angel in heaven. And the angel said to God, Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again so people could be forgiven and go to heaven. How is everybody going to find out, God? Oh, he said, well, I've left the disciples there and they're going to tell everybody. The angel looked at God and says, well, if they don't go, what's plan B? God said, there is no plan B. You understand the angels are not going to tell the story. You know the media is not going to tell the story of Jesus. If we don't tell the story, it's not going to be told. We're to tell the story. Now think about it. When Jesus saved you and washed away your sins, adopted you into God's family, what did he leave you here to do? To tell others the good news. Think about it. When you get to heaven, what can you do down here that you will not be able to do up there? Two things that you can do right now you will not be able to do in heaven. Sin and tell lost people about Jesus. Now, which of those two do you think he left you here to do? Sin or to tell other people about Jesus? He left you here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who ask you to explain the hope you have in you. Now let me ask you this morning. It says anybody, anywhere, anytime can ask you, why do you have the hope of heaven on the inside of you? What would be your answer? Do you have an answer? Well, the Bible says you're to have an answer to anyone that asks you. Listen, we had a great service here at 8:30 afterwards. One of our school teachers, actually she's a technology person in a local high school. And she came up and said, you know what? God has just really spoken to my heart that I ought to be telling these young people about Jesus at school. You see, you and I ought to be able to tell anybody, anywhere, anytime about the hope that we have on the inside. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, they can't do that at school. Oh, yes, they can. All they have to do is ask and you can tell, all right? All you have to do is allow the subject to come up and you can do it. But anyway, notice here what it says in verse 9 of chapter 3. God does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. Do you understand that in America, according to the Gallup poll, then in 2004, that's the latest statistics I have, there were 65 million Americans did not have a church home. Did not have a church home. 65 million. Let me ask you, has it gotten better or worse? That figure is worse. But get this, the good news is 34 million said they would come, they would attend if the church would do one thing. Just one thing we have to do to get them to come. You know what that was? Invite them. You know what that says to me? Listen, we're not talking to people about Jesus. We're not even inviting them to church. You say, well, people aren't that interested. Yes, they are. Do you know that same survey, what they found out when they talked to teenagers? You got this, teenagers. What would you rather talk about God or sports, God or sex, God or music. And teenagers in America said they'd rather talk about God than either of the other subjects. You see, folks today, people are interested in spiritual things, but they are so spiritually illiterate, they don't even know how to frame the question. So it's up to us to initiate the conversation. By the way, do you understand this is why this church exists? If you look on the inside of your bulletin every week, notice up there, it has our purpose. What is our purpose? It's to glorify God in all that we do and say. What is our mission? Our mission is to reach people for Jesus Christ and to develop them into passionate followers of our Lord. If we're not doing that, we are failing our mission to God. We have no reason to exist if we're not doing that according to the Bible. And so we need to share with those that are around us, those that are near. It's an amazing thing. You know, people who've grown up in church all their life, sometimes they don't understand this. We were out on a faith team visit. I had a woman that grew up in this church. Her parents were our pillars in this church. And by the way, she's as old as I am. And we're out visiting on our team. There's three of us. And we go into this home, and I'm witnessing to this woman. And I asked her, I said, suppose you were to die today, and you stood before God, and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? She said, well, I think he already knows the answer. I said, well, he already knows the answer, but you'd have to answer it. She said, well, what makes you think that? And I said, well, he knew about Adam and Eve. He knew they had sinned. He knew all the stuff, but he still questions them. God will have a trial before he reaches a judgment. And she looked up at me and says, who's Adam and Eve? Who's Adam and Eve? We left that house. We shared the gospel. The woman didn't get saved, but we shared the gospel with her. And we left that place, and the person that was with me said, Pastor, I didn't believe that right here in Crouse, North Carolina, there were people that didn't know who Jesus was. Listen, they don't even know who Adam and Eve are, let alone who Jesus is or what he did. So what do we have to do? We have to start right here where we're at. And we have to share with those that are around us at school, at work, on the playground, wherever it is. How will they know lest we tell them? And then there's the second area, and that is I must dare to reach beyond my world. See, it's just not Crouse we want to reach. We want to reach those beyond Crouse. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says, yes, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. What Paul was saying is, you know, I find out what people are interested in, what they're interested in, I'm interested in, so I can use it as a platform to share the gospel. Listen, if you're good at something, you can use whatever you are to bring it up to talk to people about Jesus. Now, I don't know if there's any men that do this, but I know there's a lot of you ladies. They go to a manicurist, right? You know what that is? That's where you go and they mess with your toes and your fingers, right? Well, this manicurist, what she does is she gets people in there and she's working with her toes. Guess what? She has a captive audience. They can't get up and run off. So she gets to talk to them about, you know, where do you do this? Where do you do that? And then she'll say something like, where do you go to church? I said, well, let me tell you about it. And she starts talking to them about Jesus, you see. What she's doing is she finds out what they're interested in. She tries to find something and bring it all the way around to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:2 says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. You want to complete God's law? You tell other people about Jesus. That's how you do it. What is it? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves and not tell them about Jesus? If you had a cure for cancer and you didn't tell anybody, you would be a criminal. Listen, my dad died of pancreatic cancer. My grandfather died of lung cancer. My mother, grandmother died of brain cancer. I want you to know cancer is an ugly word. There are people right here in this church, and you've had family members that died from cancer. Think about it. If somebody had a cure and they could have been healed and they would still here with you today, but that person just wouldn't tell anybody, how would you feel about that person? I don't know about you, but if I had a cure for cancer, I'd shout it. I'd want the whole world to know about it. Well, listen, folks, there is a worse disease than cancer, and it's called sin. Listen, you can have cancer and die and go to heaven, but if you have sin in your life and you die, you'll spend all eternity in hell. Listen, there's a greater problem, sin. There's a greater solution, Jesus. So why don't we share this good news? Notice there, he said, stoop down and reach out to those that are oppressed. You know what I love about Jesus? He rooted for the underdog. I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm watching sports and I don't have a dog in the fight, that is, you know, neither one of these teams I really, you know who I pull for? I pull for the underdog. And why is that? Jesus pulled for the underdog. He was always looking out for the sick. He was looking out for the oppressed. He was looking out for the neglected. He was looking out for the rejects. He was looking out for the outcast. And what did he do? He came and he showed people the love of God that didn't even have the love of people in their life. You see, that's what Jesus would do. And guess what? If you're a Christian, if you're like Jesus, you care about what he cares about. What does Jesus care about? He cares about souls. Why did he come here? Did he come to be a great teacher? No. Did he come to be a great healer? No. He came to save souls. And folks, that's what it's all about. That's what our mission is all about. Notice what it says in James 1:27. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless and their plight. You see, we're not just want our family saved and those around us, but the down and out. We want to listen. Did you remember all the rioting that happened a couple of weeks ago in Baltimore? They're burning the place down. They're looting and they're stealing. You know, a lot of folks in church just had the attitude, well, just let it burn down. If they're that stupid. Let me ask you, is that what Jesus would have done? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I tell you, let me tell you how you change Baltimore, Maryland. You go out there and you knock on doors and you tell people about Jesus. And if they get the problem on the inside fixed, they'll fix up what's on the outside, friend. You see, it's just a matter of what's on the inside. The oppressed. By the way, you know what? I'm just so glad to be a part of this church. For Anthony Grove, being an evangelistic church. I told you a while ago, all of these folks don't win in anybody. Last year in North Carolina, out of 5,000 churches, Anthony Grove Baptist Church in top 100. And Krause, you know, the big city of Krause, was in top 100. Several years ago, we were in the top 3% out of 45,000 nationwide. I mean, God has done some great things here at Anthony Grove Baptist Church. I'm glad to be a part of those things. You know, one of the things that we do is we're affiliated with the Greater Gaston Baptist Association. We take food down there periodically, once a year. We get a couple truckloads, don't we, Ken? We take it down there. We give money every month to help buy food. Did you know 500 families are served every month? That's 40 families a day. Did you know every family comes down there to get a week's worth of groceries? Every one of them has the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them. Because you see, they just don't need bread. They need the bread of life. A lot of those people, if they get Jesus in their heart, it'll fix a lot of the problems on the outside of their life. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 25, verse 35, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. When Jesus said that, the disciples said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? He said, when you've done it to the least of these, my children, you've done it also unto me. Do you know, every time somebody's down and out and you reach out in the name of Jesus, you're not just doing it for them. You're doing it for him. Listen, if Jesus was hungry, would you fix him a bologna sandwich? I would. I'd even put some Duke's mayonnaise on there. You go tell Joy Choate I said that. But here's the point is that we're to reach out beyond our world. And when we do that, God will reward us. In Mark 10:29, and Jesus replied, let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything for the love of me and to tell others the good news, who won't be given back 100 times over. God rewards us when we share the good news. Did you know the Bible mentions five different crowns that you can get when you go to heaven? Did you know one of those crowns is a soul winner's crown? That is, if you win somebody else to Jesus Christ, you share the good news and they get saved, you will get a special crown. You know what? Judging from what I'm hearing in the news, there won't be many people in America get that crown, but I want you to get one. I want you to stand before God and God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We'll be rewarded. What if you get a reward based on how many people you witness to? This is a hypothetical story. This lady died, went to heaven. She got to heaven, and St. Peter gave her a horse and buggy to get around heaven. And, you know, she was, this is a beautiful horse, this is a beautiful buggy, and she was riding down Gold Street. She came to Gold Boulevard, and somebody passed her in a Lamborghini. All of a sudden, she's just down and out, said, "Why am I in a horse and buggy and they in a Lamborghini?" So she stopped St. Peter and said, "I don't understand. Why these people got these real nice rides, and I got a horse and buggy?" He said, "Oh, well, that's simple." You said, your mode of transportation in heaven is based on how many people you talked to about Jesus when you were on the earth. And you didn't talk to a whole lot of people about Jesus, so you have a horse and buggy instead of a Lamborghini. And so she kind of rode off with her chin all down. The next day she's riding down Gold Street. She's just as happy and perky and her head's all real high. And St. Peter stops and says, "Well, you seem to be awful happy today. What brought about the change?" She said, "Oh, I run into my preacher last night and he's on a skateboard." We're going to be rewarded for what we do. There's a special crown, the soul winners. And I want every one of you to get one of those crowns. So what am I going to do? I'm going to share with those that are in my world. I'm going to dare to reach out beyond my world. And then number three, I'm going to care about the whole world. The whole world. In Mark chapter 16, 15, it says, Jesus said to his followers, "Are you a follower?" Then he's talking to you. "Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone." We're to go and tell everyone. I heard a story not too long ago about one of the missionaries was in the dark jungles of Africa and shared the gospel with one of the tribal chiefs. And he gave his heart to Christ. And he said, "Man, this is wonderful. I want you to tell the whole tribe." He said, "By the way," he said, "how long ago did this happen? How recent did Jesus die and rise from the dead?" The missionary said, "Well, it's been almost 2,000 years. And the chief looked at him and said, "What took you so long? What took you so long to go across the street? What took you so long to speak to your neighbor? What took you so long to speak to your coworker?" But listen, God's just not going to say about those. I'm to tell the people all around the world. And can I tell you something? We as Southern Baptists, we have more missionaries, 20,000 full-time missionaries than any other organization. We're in 176 countries. I am glad to be a part of something like that. But you know what? We as a local church, we do missions too. Let me tell you what, we have folks in this church who've gone out on short-term mission trips for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Let me just tell you some of the places that they have been to. They've been to the Ukraine, the Honduras, South Korea, South Africa, Mexico, Costa Rica, Bolivia, Kenya, Israel, Hungary, Alaska, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia. By the way, B.J. Reinhardt, he's our sound captain. He's up there. Stand up so they can see you, B.J. I want everybody to turn around and look at B.J. B.J. is going to be leading a team to West Virginia in a couple weeks. They're going to go up there and help build a church. Let me tell you, B.J. is a licensed general contractor. He's the hardest working fellow you'll ever meet in your life. I went last year with him. I'm telling you, he jumps around and climbs around there like an orangutan. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I sat there and my mouth hung up. I mean, this is a really knowledgeable, hardworking guy. And listen, if you can go. Listen, you say, "I don't know what to do." Well, listen, somebody's got to hold the board that he's nailing, okay? Somebody's got to hand it to him. Somebody's got to saw. Listen, you go. Listen, there's plenty that you can do. Right, BJ? You just go. They'll find you plenty to do. But listen, you want to go all the way around the world. I don't know anybody in West Virginia. But I believe there are people going to get saved because we're going to have a team that's going to go up there and we're going to help build something. And people come by and say, why would you come from North Carolina? We say, we're coming because we love Jesus. And because Jesus loves you. And we want you to know about His love. Notice here, if you would, skip down to Acts 13:36. For David served God's purpose in his own time. I want God to be able to say that about me. I want God to say that I reached my generation in my day. That I fulfilled God's purpose of telling the good news to my generation. Folks, I want you to know that my generation has a lot of work to do if God's going to say, well done, baby boomer generation. And I'm going to share with you in just a moment some specifics. But notice there in Psalm 67:2. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Do you get that God wants us to tell other people the good news? All right, so let me ask you, why are we not telling the good news? I think it's because we lack the motivation. I think what it is that so what will happen is you get saved, you start coming to church, you get rid of all your hell-raising friends, and you get Christian friends, and you develop a little holy huddle, and the rest of the world's just going to hell, and you don't see them, you don't hear it, you don't understand it. This series that we've been in, What on Earth Am I Here For?, started by a guy by the name of Rick Warren. Let me tell you why I love Rick Warren. He's a pastor's kid. See, his dad was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor. His great-grandfather was a pastor. His great-great-grandfather, he's a fifth-generation pastor. You know what? I prayed my sons that God called one of them to the ministry, and so far he hadn't chosen to do that. But I can't think of anything that excites me more than I have a child and want to serve God full-time in the ministry. And so that's Rick Warren. But his dad was dying of cancer. Now, his dad was a carpenter. He's a good carpenter, BJ. Built over 200 churches on the mission field as a pastor, okay? And he's there dying, and he became delirious, started talking out of his head, and he trying to get up out of the bed, and they got him calmed down, and they asked him, said, Jimmy, what is it that you want to do? And he said, I want to save one more for Jesus. I want to save one more for Jesus. I want to save one more for Jesus. He said 100 times an hour all day. I want to save one more for Jesus. And then he just got so tired, he just quit talking, and he thought he was about to die. And he did die right after this. But he was whispering. They couldn't hear him. And Rick Warren says, I put my face right down close to my daddy's face so I could hear what he said. And he said, his daddy reached up and grabbed him by the face and said, son, reach one more for Jesus. Reach one more for Jesus. That was his last words. You know, Rick Warren's church baptized 22,000 people in the last 10 years. Folks, you go do the math. That's more than any Southern Baptist church in the history of America. That's winning and baptizing 50 people every week for 10 years, okay? I believe he got it. Save one more for Jesus. But folks, we're not getting it done. We're not getting it done in our generation. Look on the back of your outline. Now, these figures are not a place, but you can write them down if you want to. Every year in Gaston County, we're located in Gaston County. Every year in Gaston County, 5,740 people die. Most of those people are not prepared to meet God. In the United States, every year, 2.4 million people die, and they go out to meet God unprepared. In the world, there's 54 million people die every year, most of them unprepared to meet God. All right, now y'all know that I don't have a lot of rhythm, so y'all help me with this. We're going to snap our fingers, okay? Snap your fingers. Some of you are as rhythmically challenged as I am. All right, now get this. Every time you just snapped your fingers, somebody died and went to hell. Somebody died. 89 people a minute die and go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. So, how are we doing by generation? The builder's generation. If you were born before 1945, you're in the builder generation. This is sometimes called the great generation. And they're called the Great Generation because they survived the Great Depression. They survived World War I. They survived World War II. But I believe they were the Great Generation because they honored God. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Notice here what happened. The builder generation in America reached 65% of their generation for Christ. Two out of every three people they won to Jesus that was their age. Now the generation that came afterwards, that's my generation, the baby boomers. We're called the boomers because the builders had so many babies that the population boomed. Okay? So we're the baby boomers. Notice here, we've only reached 35% of our generation. Do you get this? The builders had two out of every three. My generation only had one out of every three. We're losing the battle. But listen, it gets worse. The busters, those born between 1965 and 1986, you let me tell you how many of your generation you have reached? Only 15%. 15 out of 100 are going to heaven. 85 out of 100 is going to hell in this generation. In America. But listen, it gets worse. The Bridger generation, sometimes called the millennials. Let me tell you how many of this generation are being reached for Jesus Christ in America? 4%. 96% of this generation is on their way to a devil's hell. Folks, those terms are unacceptable. Listen, Christianity is spreading like wildfire in China, in Russia, in India, but Christianity is shrinking in America. Why is that? It's because the people who know the gospel are not sharing it with those who don't know the gospel. You say, well, preacher, they're just not interested. That's not true. Notice here, the North American Mission Board says 30% of all Americans are headed to heaven. I think that's high. I don't think that many's going. 70% are headed to hell. Let's look at our community. How many people live in Krause? Last census said 1,984 people in Krause. Last time I did a head count around here, we didn't have 1,984. You know what that means? That means we still got some work to do in Krause. But if you go just 3 miles out of in one direction, there's 6,135 people. Think about that. That's a lot of people. And 70% of them, according to the Home Mission Board, are not going to heaven. Well, let's just go 8 miles out. 8 miles is not very far. There are 49,843 people within an 8-mile radius of Anthony Grove. Folks, you think about that. 70% of them are not going to heaven. Get this. If you only go 15 miles from Anthony Grove, there are 235,551 people. That's a quarter of a million people. Listen, you don't have to go to Atlanta. You don't have to go to Chicago. You don't have to go to Los Angeles. There's a quarter of a million people, and 70% of them do not know who Jesus Christ is or what he did. Rose, they're asking the question, how can it be? How can it be? How can I know God personally? You and I have the answer. Now notice there's 70% that's on their way to hell. Tom Rainer interviewed 6,000 of them, and here's what he found out. 1 out of 10 are going to go to hell because they can't stand the things of God. Okay? 1 out of 10. But notice here, 50%, 5 out of 10 will go to hell because they're unsure of the church and our traditional means of reaching them will not work. You know what that means? That means what worked in 1950 will not reach 50% of the lost people today. We'll have to find something else. We'll have to find a different way. The gospel's the same, but how we present it's going to have to be done differently. But then notice here, this here's encouraging. It says 3 out of 10 are open to the gospel through traditional means, but will go to hell unless we get to them. 30% of this quarter of a million people right in our neighborhood. 30% of them says, just do what you're doing, but tell us about it, and that will reach them. And then the last one's really sad. 10% are so open to the gospel they would believe, but they're going to go to hell because we will not cross the road to tell them. Folks, there's a house right across the road. Has anybody been over there to tell them? There's one right down There's a street here right beside. Is anybody going to tell them? There's one right outside them front doors. Is anybody going to tell them? 10% of the people in our area are going to would go to heaven if we would just talk to them, but we won't even walk across the street to tell them. Folks, let me tell you the power of the gospel. Pastor friend went to China. He went to the Peking University. You know, the intellectuals. Peking University is the Harvard University in China. This is where all the leading communist leaders go to. So he goes there and he meets with the provost, the second guy in charge of Peking University. He's been a professor of engineering and mathematics for 50 years. He is a dyed-in-the-wood communist. This pastor is talking to him. And he says to him, by the way, the professor is dying. The provost is dying of cancer. And he says to him, he said, you know, my dad has cancer and he's dying too. But he has peace about it because he has peace with God. Evidently, the professor didn't have peace about dying. And he said, how is that possible? He said, let me tell you a story. There was a man who had a son. He loved his son very much. And one day, he took his son and three of his best friends, and they went to the carnival. And his dad bought a whole roll of tickets. And they'd come to a ride, and he'd tear all four tickets, and he'd hand each one of them a ticket, and they'd ride the ride, and then they'd get off, and then they go to the next ride, and he'd tear off a ticket. And he'd hand one to his son, hand one to all of his friends, his three friends. He said, well, I've done this several times. And he says, he's handing out a ticket, a ticket, a ticket, and here's a new guy. He said, I've never seen this guy, and he's got his hand out. He said, what do you want? He said, I want a ticket. He said, why should I give you a ticket? He said, is that fellow over there your son? He said, yeah, that's my son. He said, well, your son said that I was his new best friend, and if I would come tell his daddy that I was his friend, that he'd give me a ticket. He said, all right, son. He tore off a ticket and handed it to him. Every place they went, this new kid got a ticket. This pastor then looked at his communist leader, and here's what he said. He said, listen, God's got a son that he loves very much. His name is Jesus. And listen, he's got a ticket to heaven. And the only way you're going to get a ticket is you got to become a friend of his son. And if you're a friend of his son, all you have to do is hand out, put your hand out and say, I want a ticket to heaven. And this hardline communist has tears running down his face, and he reaches out his hand and he said, I want one of those tickets. Folks, there are people all around us just like that. They don't have peace with God. They don't know where to get it. They don't know where to find it. They would take a ticket if they just knew about the ticket to heaven. Will you tell them? Will you tell them? How about you back there? Will you tell them? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus your best friend. He'd like to be your friend, and he's offering you a ticket to heaven. If you'd accept that ticket, would you just slip out of your seat in a moment when we sing? Come down here and take me by the hand and say, preacher, I want a ticket to heaven. We're just a prayer away from that happening. You say, preacher, I said, I've already asked God to come into my heart. I've already asked Jesus to save me. Let me ask you, who are you telling about Jesus? Who is close to you? What family members do you have that's on their way to a devil's hell? And you're not talking. You're not sharing. You're not pleading. You're not weeping and crying. Would you come today and plead for their soul? Would you come today and say, God, help me to say the right words that I might win. That I might win one more for Jesus. And then I want to challenge. I want to challenge every Christian here to put it on your bucket list that at some point in your time, in your life, you're going to go on a mission trip. It might be to Honduras. It might be to China. It might be to Ukraine. It might be to West Virginia. But say, God, I make myself available. Not for just the people around me that I know and love, but God, help me to reach the world. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you that somebody came by and told me the good news about Jesus Christ. Help us, God, that we would tell others. Help us, God, that we would reach this generation for Jesus Christ. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.